Gary, you in there? I think you doubled with Jeff. Go ahead, sir.
The DOS. I was just going to pick at you a little bit. I said, you must be one of them guys that stands out in the hall and entitles the seat to the teachers. That's the only people at Monitor that I know of. We throw our call signs out. People know we're on the radio. But I was just going to pick at you and, pull your chain a little bit. But I am supposed to meet Chris at 10:30 in the morning, right?
Yes, sir. He's waiting on you. And he'll make the introduction and show you around the shop a little bit, answer any questions you got. And I'm sorry I can't be there, Gary. I just can't. He's got some health problems, and I cannot. I'm his caregiver 2 days a week, and I cannot risk, getting him sick. So he knows the deal. We go through this. We've been through this 13 times now, so he understands what I'm doing, and he knows exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. So 10:30, and you can GPS it. If you get lost or something, give me a call, or you've got his number, and he'll just walk you right in. But I'm really disappointed I can't be there, but that's okay. Show the preciousness of others, and I'll do my quarantine again, and then get back out. But just to answer your question, and just to pick back at you, not only was I the hall monitor, but I stood outside the door at the position of attention while I did my monitoring. And so, back at you. Thank you for NUE.
But I just, like I said, I was just picking at you. There used to be a ham on here every morning. He called a good morning at about 5 o'clock. He'd get up at about 4:30 and listen and talk to people going to work. And his call was WB4ZBZ. His name was Gene. Super, super nice fella. But if you ever talked to him on the radio, you'd have thought he was the biggest crab that you'd ever talked to. But that was one of his pet peeves. He didn't like people saying monitoring on the radio. But I just, I thought that was funny. Anyway, I'll let you and Jeff get back to it. Jeff, welcome to the area. You illegal immigrant. I'm picking at you too, I hope you know. I lived in California for a while, but I was born and raised here and went out there in the military and came back, and I'm glad I did. Anyway, y'all go ahead and I'll continue to listen to the conversation. KI4DOS.
TV, Jeff, I got one more piece for you. Let me make sure I got this. KI4DOS, if you don't mind, could you listen in and make sure I'm giving the right info? So every night at 1900, so that's 7 o'clock every night, you can tune to 80 meters, 3.915. That's 3.915. That's the South Carolina single sideband net. And all they do on that net is pass traffic. And it's learning to pass traffic the correct way. So they use a written form called a radiogram. And they pass traffic from all over the United States. I'm sure at some point in time they've passed traffic to other countries. I'm not sure about that, though. But you can tune in, and I would suggest listening for a couple of nights and just kind of see how things function for a little bit. But Gary, KI4DOS, the one that was just talking to you, he's been doing it for years, and he is a master at it. I have just started to learn, but one night, you send me an email, Jeff, at chadlhightower@gmail.com. We'll talk, and if you, check the net out and decide that's something you're interested in, please let me know. I'll teach you what I know about passing traffic. And when you're ready and interested, we'll repeat your cycle. Something you want to learn to do, then I will pass a piece of traffic to you through Gary, and Gary can send it back down through the 2-meter net or send it back up through 80 meters or whatever we decide to do. But don't be bashful, don't be afraid to do it, because these guys are good at what they do and they take it seriously and they encourage other people to learn to do it and they want to do it. So, and the reason they pass traffic is because that's pretty important in an emergency. Because HF is a little bit noisy at times, and propagation's not that well, so it's not as clear as 2-meter. So we have a written form that we use so the information gets disseminated correctly and exactly what the originating station wants to say. It's a pretty amazing process to listen to, but to be a part of is more amazing for me. So check it out. Again, that is 3.915. And Gary, I'm hoping you can give him a little more information to try to encourage him to be a traffic handler, because it's really fun and neat, and you'll never know when you need it. So, KO4NUE.
Info. I found out about the 3915, but I haven't listened yet. My antenna I just put up is a 40-meter loop, and I can listen, but I can't actually transmit on 80 meters yet because the SWR is too bad. But I do have plans to put a 203-foot infed outside AC6IW.
COS. Anytime you can get on 3.915, it's not all they do is traffic handling, but that's what the net is set up for. They have other guys that go to other nets like the CN net and a couple other nets that are code nets, UCW, and then they bring those to the South Carolina net and try to pass it. And there's a lot of folks that I guess they're afraid more so than anything else. They won't try to do it, but they could do it if they wanted to, because it's not that hard. If you need any help with that, like Chad said, we'll be glad to help you out any way we can. And it's just a lot of fun. Every once in a while, I picked up a piece of traffic and it went to a individual, and when I contacted them on the phone, they had passed away. And so, I mean, you know, stuff like that happens, and it doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. But just to give you an idea of what can happen when you're passing traffic. A friend wanted to send him hello, how you doing, and all this. And because he hadn't talked to him in a long time, and I had to send him back, "I'm sorry, bud, your friend passed away." So, it's not all good, but it's not all bad either. And Chad, while I got this thing down, and if I don't time my radio out, you don't have to let the repeater drop. It goes into net mode right before 9 o'clock, and it does not time out until... it goes back to regular operation about 1 a.m. So the repeater doesn't time out between 9 o'clock and 9 p.m. and 1 a.m. You will need to let your transceiver drop so you don't time it out.
I appreciate that. I didn't know that. I thought it was just reserved for us to talk from 9 to 1. I didn't realize it actually changed us off how it operated, but I appreciate that. So, at any rate, Jeff, check it out. And it's a pretty neat system. It's part of the National Traffic System. And you can check that information out on ARRL website. And it's very interesting and fun to be a part of. And one thing I'll tell you when you decide, if you decide to be a part of it, is that one thing that Gary has really helped me with is that making a mistake on the radio or saying the wrong thing, that just proves that we are human. And if what Gary is saying, that when you make a mistake, that proves you're just human, then I am the biggest, baddest human on the face of this planet. Because I mess something up every time I get involved with it. But I learn and correct as I go. And Gary's always set an example for me to, you know, Gary and Larry and Walt have, you know, really, really helped me out a lot, especially on Tuesday nights. But you're not going to find a better group of people. You're not going to do it. That really are interested in trying to in any way they can. So, you know, stay with us for, you know, on the net, and you'll be surprised what you learn.
You still in there, Jeff?
I'm actually on a phone call right now. Sorry. I'm AC6IW. I'll get back on after I get off the phone call. AC6IW.
I'll be here. And Gary, thank you for sticking around with your information. And I'm proud of Chad. He went from student to a teacher there for a while about the Skywarn net and all. Chad, reckon I ought to be in quarantine since you come over here the other day. I mean, you might be testing negative, but you could be a carrier when you brought me that J-PO. I got to get that thing up tomorrow and try it out. Yeah. By the way, that analyzer I sold you, I'm pretty sure I got the manual to it here, and I did find a car charger that you plug it into the cigarette lighter and plug it into the analyzer or a mobile antenna or something, but I'll dig up. I'm pretty sure I got the manual for that thing. If I ain't got it, you can get it off of MFK's website. I'm still worried about your mother-in-law there. I know I went down to Spartanburg the other day to that farmer's market, and they got a big tent set up out there where you got to go into it. And what is it, triage? You don't go in the emergency room. You have to go through that tent. They got beds and all out there. It's virus. People ain't taking it serious. But I heard you say the other night you think she got it from one of the health people that come out and work with you, and because you had told me y'all been staying super clean, wearing the mask and watching where you go, and I hope your mother-in-law gets better, Chad. KO4NUE K4OIM.
Hey, would I ask you a question, Walt, as far as do you need to quarantine? The answer to that would be no. chronologically, when you look at the timeline, it's not possible. So she tested positive. She tested negative on Friday afternoon, but she tested positive on Saturday afternoon. So, and the second thing is, because we're so careful, I don't have contact with her. Anna has contact with her every day. So Anna moves between being over there and in the home with me. But no, Lord, you absolutely don't have anything to worry about. If I thought you did, trust me, I would have said something to you, just out of sheer respect for letting other people know. So, no, you don't have anything to be concerned about. But she's doing all right, I guess. She's sick, and I am concerned. And me and Anna both are. But I just, you know, nobody goes in there but her and healthcare workers. No one. And like I said, we've gotten by 2 years, almost 2 years, because we are safe and stay clean and careful how we move and things like that. And I just see a healthcare worker. That's tough. But it is what it is. But you're good, Walt. I'm not worried at all. And if I was, I would have talked with you already.
The virus when it first come out, I believe February, and I got it in March, and it was the coughing that really bothered me. I mean, I stayed in my shack away from my daughter and my grandson, and I even slept down here in my shack. It did have two beds in there. I still got one, but I had to tear one out, put radio equipment in there and test equipment. But I had the virus, and they said it was a mild case. I was hated to have the full blown thing because I got one of them, Ambisol or something like that. That inhaler I have to use every 4 hours. Then I got another one, and two puffs on it at night. And when I finally tested negative, I had to wait 90 days to go get my flu shot. So I went up to CVS up here in Edmond and got my flu shot. 2 days later, that's the sickest I ever been. My daughter come in from work, and I was in my bedroom laying on the bed wrapped up and covered with all my clothes on and my work boots. The flu was worse than the virus was. KO4NUE, K4OIM, and AC6IW. If you in there, off the phone, come on in.
NUE. Well, just for you or anybody that's listening out there, just a tidbit of information. You can go to Walgreens and for around $20, you can get what's called a spit test. And there's two tests in a pack. and that will give you, you can do a home test to see if you're positive for the virus. Now, once, if you test positive on a home test, then you obviously want to go verify that through a lab test. But that's just a quick indicator that, okay, well, I am testing positive. I have, I need to verify this and then take appropriate action as far as your health goes. But that's pretty helpful and pretty nifty to know, because you don't have to go to a hospital, get tested. You can, or you can go to a testing facility and get tested. But, you know, it's just quicker and easier to do the home test, just to find out roughly what, you know, whether you have been exposed or not. So, and I have had a couple people ask me that, and if that individual's listening tonight, that's how you go. Just go to Walgreens, pick up the simple spit test, and you can do it in your own home and don't have to worry about getting exposed at a testing site.
Just for that information, I had the virus, and I had both shots. I got the Moderna shots at the VA, and they're telling me now that I'm surely over 65. I'll be 74 in February, but I have to wait, I think it's 8 months from the time I got my second shot to get the booster shot. So that'll put me up to about December or January before I get the booster shot. And I can't understand, Chad, my daughter will not go take the shot. And she says she ain't gonna let my grandson get the shot when it, Pfizer's already, theirs is already approved. But Chad, I know you said you had family that has passed away from it. Let know the Peter ain't gonna drop. I'm net patrol tonight, and I already know that. I meant to tell you that, Chad, that I talked to W4RJW, Dave, and they got the repeater set up to where it won't tire them out from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock, like Gary said. And that's about it. AC6IW, you back yet?
AC6IW, yes, Sam, back.
It's IW. 4JBQ, you in there?
Yes, I'm in here. And just to kind of add to what you guys were talking about, I actually got COVID at the end of, like, the very last week of July, and so did my girlfriend. And, you know, people have different views on things. My daughter's pediatrician actually advised that she doesn't get the vaccine. She's almost 16, but she had 3 separate antibody tests and has levels that are very high for that. So, but my first 7 days with COVID were not a big deal until the 7th day when the fever hit and all the stuff started happening. But my girlfriend's a nurse, and we both got with a pulmonologist that gave us a bunch of stuff that within about 24 hours, like, turned us around, like, really quick, and we were monitoring our oxygen levels and stuff like that, so that if we had to go to the next step, we knew what to do. But anyway, I was just speaking with her because she works at Prisma and was asking her some stuff about what she's seeing, because she's out on the floor right now, and she usually has been in outpatient surgery, but they shut that down at her hospital out in Easley. She's at Easley Baptist. Now it's called Easley, or it's called Prisma. AC6IW.
5W. KK4NUE. KK4JBQ, you in there, Larry?
JBQ. Yes, I'm here. I've been listening. I have not had a great deal to add, but I have learned a lot myself. KK4JBQ.
So, Jeff, that's Larry. If you have any kind of antenna question, Larry is the guy. If you have any questions about life in general, Larry is the guy. So, super nice person, always helpful. And, you know, he's always here on Tuesday nights to help as well. So, just wanted to make the introduction. He hasn't said anything tonight, but Larry, I wish you'd pop in just for a little bit and maybe get to know Jeff a little bit and just make him a little bit more comfortable when it comes to, you know, Tuesday night check-ins or any check-in, actually. Just want to make the introduction.
Action. This is AC6IW. B2KK4JBQ. As I said, I really have listened with great interest about the many things you all have been talking about. And that's all I have to say about that. KK4JBQ.
I am thrilled at the response I've got from starting this roundtable. I know there's a lot of new hams out there that's scared to pick that mic up and talk. I was that way when I got on CB. Once I got my ham license, the novice license, it was a whole lot different than getting your technician license now. I used to go around to all the TV shops and get all their old black and white TVs that were shot that people wouldn't come and pick up. I'd take my part and build my own transmitter and my own receiver. And back then, as a novice, I only had 28.3 to 28.500 to use phone privileges on 10 meters. But back then, getting your novice license was harder than getting your general license now. You had to draw a diagram of a Hartley oscillator or a Copitz oscillator and explain what each element in that tube was and what it had done. It was just a whole lot different than getting your technician license now. I mean, to me, it was harder to get my novice ticket than to get my general ticket. And Larry, I appreciate you sticking around. I was hoping somebody was going to ask questions about the antenna. I got out here the other day. I was going to pull up a bazooka 20-meter antenna. And I got this antenna launcher, and it said to pump it 20 times, and it would shoot that projectile out at least 100 feet. Well, I pumped it 7 times to go over a tree limb about 40 foot high. That sucker went across that tree limb and went up about 60 foot high over on the other property and fell, and it broke the fishing line on my reel. But I'm going to get that thing up tomorrow. I can work 20 meters, and I've got another 6-meter dipole I'm going to get up. And I'm tired. I got this Cushcraft A3S 2310 tri-bander 2015 and 10 meter antenna up there. I've got the rotator, and I've got about 32 feet of tower laying out here on the ground, but I've got a tripod that I can put on top of the house and put that antenna up. I've had it about 2 years and never put it up. Yeah, I've got it all listed on SwapNet tomorrow night. The antenna and CDA, antenna rubbers. It's like the Ham 3. Talk about just selling it all. I got it listed on SwapNet tomorrow. But I'm happy working with dipole antennas right now. In the last 2 days, I've worked 15 parts on the air stations on 40 meters, a couple on 80 meters, and the antenna I got up now is an 80-40 fan dipole, and my radio will tune anything on it with an automatic tuner. And I gotta get them up. I'd really like to keep them beams and that rotor and get them up, but kind of see what happens here. My health ain't been that good here the last few months. So that's all I got to say. Anybody else out there got anything they want to say or any questions they want to ask? I'll go ahead and close it out here. And I appreciate Andy KI4LZI for hanging around. And W4DJW Dave, KO4NUE. And I forgot his wife's call sign, Miss Anna. But I appreciate y'all sticking around. And Chris, welcome to South Carolina. Love to talk to you. Do you remember there at the gate at Port Magoo where we had all the sidewinders, the flare missiles, and all of them standing there at the fence at the main entrance to the gate?
36 Jeff. I do remember seeing some of the missiles get launched. But I never actually went that close to the base. I just remember being in the area and on the coast and seeing missiles go up into the air. I'm wondering what they were. But that's a cool area. And there's also a friend of mine in college that one time we went out to Malibu. I've been to Malibu several times, but went out there and went bird watching for some kind of bird watching college class that he had. But I like California, but for the climate and the beauty of it, but I'm glad I don't live there anymore. I'm glad to live in South Carolina where people are sane. I think California's been messed up by a lot of people in the government. I'm glad to be out here. I'm proud to be a South Carolinian. AC6IW.
KO4NUE. Let me make sure I got it.
Yes.
So, Walt, you won't close it out, bud. I know you're tired, but I just want to tell Jeff one more thing. But if you need to go on and conduct your business, and we'll talk afterwards.
I took care of that for tripling about 10 minutes ago. It'll take it about 30, 45 minutes before I have to get my flashlight out and wander up to the house and get in bed. But, Jeff, on Halloween night, a buddy of mine had made some stencils, and I sneaked the ladder down, aluminum ladder down there to the fence right at the main gate. At the main gate, they had Polaris missiles, sidewinders, and all of them standing up. You know, they were dummies. But Halloween night, I threw the ladder across the fence, and me and a buddy of mine, Johnson City, Tennessee, old Mike, Michael Owen, we spray painted Playboy bunnies all over their missiles. And they put the base on lockdown the next day. They never did find out who done that, but me and Michael Owen painted them Playboy bunnies decals all over them missiles out there. I know you was there at Wanemi, Port Wanemi. I had another buddy from Tennessee at in the military. If you bought a car and then you got transferred somewhere else and you couldn't sell that car, you left it at the NCO club with the keys in it. And anybody can go out there and get in that car and take off and go party and just bring the car back, leave the keys in it so somebody else could go. This guy, our name was Michael Lloyd, we went there and picked up a 56 Mercury, two-door hardtop, and we went down through Ventura. Wide open. He was showing me how he used the haul liquor. He scared the heck out of me. But like you say, the climate out there, it's awful. And who would want to live out there? They know they're going to have the wildfires and the earthquake. And then after the fire, when it rains, you're going to have mudslides. I'll never forget when I was in boot camp in San Diego at graduation. We went out there on the parade field, and you could look up at them hills out there and all them houses on it. There ain't no way I'd want to live in California. Back to you, Jeff. AC 6 IWK 4 OIM.
This is AC6 IW. Well, yeah, I know. I used to, one of the few people that ever went to their house to teach trumpet lessons to lived in Malibu Canyon, and I would never want to live there. I mean, there's these houses that are extremely expensive, but it's down in the canyon, and once the wildfires start, it creates kind of like it creates like updraft that basically escalates the fire, and all those people, usually every couple of years, their houses all burn up from that. It'd be I don't know who'd want to live there and take that risk with having your stuff burn up and then also losing your property. But lots of pretty stuff and lots of well-to-do people like to live there. But I loved it. I grew up in Bakersfield, which was really hot, and then moving to Los Angeles, I liked it because there were a lot of different things to do in the area, but South Carolina is more my speed. I like it.
Forget one weekend I had a pass, and I called a bus and went down to L.A. And I was going to HRO that sold amateur radio equipment. I just went in there looking at receivers. But when I got to L.A. and walked down to the bus station, it was dark in the middle of daytime. All those skyscrapers, you could look up and you had to look straight up to see the sky. And I've been through New York and L.A. They compared to me about the same. And I just can't figure out why anybody want to live there. I mean, you rent a little apartment or whatever, and you got to go to work. And that's it. But I met this guy at the USO. He was a DJ there that played music. And he had a music shop down in Ventura. And on the side, he done leather work. And he invited me to come down and help him out on the weekends in his music shop, restocking records. That's before the cassette players and the CDs. It was all vinyl. And I went down there one weekend, was helping him. He loved a bunch of saddles he had done. And asked me if I wanted to ride with him to deliver them. And one of them, the first stop we was at was Johnny Cash. And we went out there to his barn. You wouldn't believe that barn. It was built out of logs, and they were all shellac. He had all kind of guitars hanging on the wall. That was when he was married to his first wife. And I met his daughter there, what was her name, Rose, I think it was Rose Cash, but then the next stop, what was his name, he played on Rawhide, and then he made all those songs, Ben Colder, he went by Ben Colder, when he was on the radio and on the recording music. But I enjoyed that part of California, and that was about it. The rest of it, And you talk about watching them missiles. When they lost them, launched them drones, they was all painted orange. And me and a buddy of mine, we were walking out to the beach there on the base, and I thought it was an earthquake. The ground was shaking, and I grabbed my buddy, and he was scared too, because we hadn't been on the base but a day or two, getting paperwork done and everything. You looked out there in the ground, the doors just opened up, and it was a dang Polaris missile. Launched out of that silo. I'll never, ever forget that. They shoot them up and shoot them down. AC6IWK4, OIM.
6IW, that would be pretty cool to see. And when I lived in Bakersfield, kind of a cool thing that happened. It was in the late 80s. Before they knew about the stealth fighter, it actually crashed in the Bakersfield area. And I was going in, I think it was back from college for the weekend, and I went into a local barbershop, and the guy that came into the barbershop told us about it, how something had crashed on his property, and he said it didn't look like a plane. It looked kind of like a spaceship. And he went out there because it was so loud, and, you know, he was worried that it hurt his livestock and stuff. And he said within, like, 15 minutes or so, all these military people came in with machine guns and tarps and covered everything up and roped it off and told him he wasn't allowed to go on his property. And that was, like, when it first was made public about the stealth. And it would fly out of Edwards Air Force Base. And over the past couple of years, long story, but I got to meet my biological father for the first time back in 2019 and went to Thanksgiving also then. And a lot of that part of my family is from Mojave. So we went out out there and saw there's like a big airplane graveyard that's out there and a lot of military stuff. And they used to test things out there, and that side of my family, one of my cousins works on the avionics for the stealth bomber, and another cousin that was on my adoptive side, because I'm adopted, he worked on the, he was the one that created the avionics for the stealth project, and I remember back in the 80s, even his wife never knew what he did. We thought maybe he was working on like the Star Wars satellite stuff, but he would leave in the morning and go from Pasadena out to Palmdale or Edwards Air Force Base, and his wife never had a clue what he was doing or where he was going for a bunch of years. But there's a lot of cool stuff out in California, that, and the military does some pretty cool things. AC6IW.
AC6IW, K4OIM. Yeah, there's a lot of secret stuff goes on in the military. I had to get a secret security clearance, not top secret, bottom level, a secret. And the FBI went around to all of my aunts and uncles and my dad, because my mom was dead. And he went around asking questions and all, and finally cleared me to get my secret security clearance. And all I've done was, when I had duty, which was every 4 days, I'd go down to the administration, and they would load a box up on a duck. I don't know if you know what a duck is, but it's amphibious landing craft. It can travel down the road, you go down the road, you go to the beach, it hit the water, the wheels fold up under it, and they put it in marine, and it's got a prop on the back. And I had to take that box. We'd go out 5 miles on that lark, and I had two Marines with machine guns. All I'd done was open that box up and dump the ashes out in the water of documents that they had burned. And that was about stupid as hell, I thought, but that was my duty. Once a week, go out there and dump a box of ashes out there on the 5 miles out. But I enjoyed being in California as a military, but no, not to live there. No way. AC6IWK4OIM.
I'm going to close with this comment, and I hope Larry didn't get angry at me. But, Jeff, I'm going to challenge you. You said you wanted to build an NFED. So Walt and Larry have, and others, have done a really good job of teaching me how to build a dipole the right way. And my next challenge is an NFED. So if you're interested, I know some ham operators are not always interested in meeting face-to-face or anything like that, but if you are interested in tackling the NFED and managing the impedance on it, let me know, and we'll get together and double team and I've got an excess of wire and a machine shop to build the connector. So I'm saying we probably could build one for less than $5. But get to learn something in the process. Just want to throw that out there, you know, no hard feelings if you don't. I understand, I get it. But, you know, I'm not going to pass up an opportunity to learn. So I just wanna say that, and just let me know either way. But there's some really, really smart people listening in, and they really do a good job of contributing and helping. So just want to let you know if you're interested. Q4NUE.
Yeah, that sounds cool. There's one of my former trumpet students that he built or bought an infed, and he's going to put it up at his place. He's somewhere out like in the Five Forks area. His name is Larry also, but I forget his call. It's not the same Larry that was on here earlier. But I keep wondering if I'll hear him on here or not. But that's something I'd like to learn more about. I've read about it. There's a website called Palomar Engineering or something, and they had some articles. I read about it there, and then some other things on the internet. It's pretty interesting to read about how it works and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'd definitely like to learn more and maybe build it myself. Or the easiest thing for me is just thinking about buying it with it already made, but it would be more fun to probably build it myself. But yeah, we'll have to talk some more. AC6IW.
It's nice meeting you, sir. It's a pleasure talking to you. And Walt, thanks again for putting all this together. And Larry, we didn't get to talk much tonight, but that's okay. We'll get together another night. But at any rate, well, I appreciate all y'all's prayers, and just keep going with it. Q4NUV, I'm gonna drop out. I'll listen around a little bit, but just want to say hello, Larry, and we'll talk to y'all later. But I'll listen in for a while.
Jerry KI4DOS, Scary, you didn't say this time you're going to monitor.
Well, one man says, hey, change what you're doing, I'm going to change what I'm doing.
The wrong way he picked on you, because everybody on here on 2 meters, ain't nobody talking, they'll throw the call sign out there and say monitoring. Yeah, I know they ain't the classroom, Chad. And AC6IW, Jeff, I appreciate you checking in here. And they ain't nothing like building something yourself. Myself, I buy and repair the old boat anchor tube type radios. And they ain't nothing like the satisfaction of turning one of them receivers on. I've got a Holocrafter SB40 that was one owner. He didn't check in tonight. Rolling. Got it, ma'am. I'm waiting on a recap kit to come in for me. Back in the 60s, I lived with my grandmother, and the guy that lived up the street was a ham operator. And I had a little 2-transistor radio, and I was going to source my grandma. And this guy seen me walking with that little radio up in the ear, and he hollered at me, and I had been told not to talk to strangers, but he invited me to come in and look at his radios. He was a ham operator, and his call was K4OIM. That was back in the 60s. And then I had to go home because my mother was dying with cancer, and I didn't have no more contact with anybody about ham radio, but I was always interested in it. And I had ordered all the catalogs from Hollerfafter and Lafayette. And Lafayette had that HA-600 receiver. And, man, I dreamed about that. I was about 14 years old. I was sure popping, and I couldn't get the money up to buy it. So I went to a Silent Key sale up in North Carolina, and way up in the mountains, a dirt road winding that all the way around there. When you finally got to his house, the lady had some of his equipment for sale, and she had that Lafayette HA-600. I'll never forget that radio. And I think I gave her $40 for it. It's a solid state radio, and it's got a bad capacitor in the power supply. You can pick up real strong stations, but the rest of them is just buzzing and humming. I'm waiting on a recap kit for it. And I got three of them here I'm waiting on from Hayseed to get the recap kits for. And my brother come over here, he's a big time CB-er. When you gonna sell one of them radios? They ain't for sale. They are beautiful, Jeff.